This week on Vaticano, explore the story of Rosalind Hamel, sister of the late Father Jacques Hamel, who was tragically murdered during Mass in France. And don't miss the concluding part of our Vatican Museum series. Vaticano starts now.
Well, the situation is very, very, very sad. And really, everybody has a concern about the future of the Holy Land. In this moment is terrible because Holy Land lives with the presence of pilgrims. And the church itself is in this moment, you know, in difficulty.
After the presentation of his new book on episcopal conferences in December in Rome, Cardinal Fernando Filoni commented on the situation in the Holy Land. He's the Grand Master of the Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem. The Pope tasked this order with supporting the Latin Patriarchate of Jerusalem and the Christian presence in the region. Cardinal Filoni stressed that the order is doing everything possible to help the church in Jerusalem. The order has thousands of members across the globe with a large presence in Europe and the United States. The knights and dames of the order pray and donate for the small Christian population, their schools, and church buildings. This kind of help is more necessary now than ever. Also, Pope Francis called for renewed efforts of the faithful to pray for peace during the inauguration celebrations for the Nativity scene in St. Peter's Square. The Holy Father reminded all the faithful to pray for the people suffering from war in the Holy Land, especially as we contemplate what happened in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Go away, Satan. These were the last words spoken 7 years ago by Father Jacques Hamel, the French priest murdered in his church in Normandy in 2016 by two Islamist terrorists. Rosalind Hamel, Father Jacques' younger sister, came to Rome to present the sixth edition of the award named after her priest brother. The Father Jacques Hamel Journalistic Award is dedicated to interreligious dialogue and is scheduled for January in Lourdes. On her trip to Rome, Rosalind met Pope Francis after the general audience on Wednesday, December the 6th. Prior to the audience, Rosalind Hamel shared her personal journey after the tragedy, recounting her meeting with the family of her brother's killer and initiating a path of reconciliation with the mother of one of his killers.
I had to find meaning in my life. Even though I was already 76 years old, it was easier for me to let myself perish than to endure this excruciating pain, barely still asleep after 7 years. And so, I searched intensely for meaning in my life, meditating for a year, asking questions to God. Holding him accountable instead of saying my prayers, I demanded explanations. Why him? Why us? What have we done? What haven't we done? And thus, on this journey of asking questions to which I had no answers, one question came to me. Who else can suffer more than me? I couldn't imagine, except for those who have suffered as victims in this horrifying tragedy. So I thought, what if I were the mother and the roles were reversed? I have two sons, and what if one of them took the wrong path and became a horrible murderer? What would be my pain? So I thought of the mother of the murderer, and since she lives in Saint-Antoine-de-Rouvray, not far from where my brother used to live, I did everything to meet her and ask her to accept that we manage our pain together rather than despising each other.
The cause of Father Jacques Hamel's beatification is underway. The diocesan phase of the process was closed in 2019, and Rome has been studying the case since.
Hello and welcome to this week's Vaticano Updates, the most important news from Pope Francis and the Vatican. The first World Day of Children will be celebrated by the Church for the first time in 2024, announced Pope Francis. On the weekend of May 25th and 26th, the Vatican's Dicastery for Culture and Education will seek to answer the question of what kind of world do we wish to pass on to our children. Children instead of dogs. Pope Francis again addressed Italy's growing problem with its birth rates. This time he addressed the heads of the Italian provinces in the Apostolic Palace. He lamented that many times dogs take the place of children. The Pope noted that it was the authorities' responsibility to manage the available resources in the best possible way, and he also urged Italians to have children and to welcome immigrants as sons and daughters. In his homily during a Congress of African Liturgists in Senegal's capital city Dakar, Cardinal Robert Sarah underscored the importance of liturgy. The former prefect of the Vatican Congregation for Divine Worship found that African liturgies are often too banal and too noisy, too African and less Christian, as he said. The Congress examined Sacrosanctum Concilium because of the 60th anniversary of the Constitution on the Sacred Liturgy. Pope Francis accepted the resignation of Major Archbishop Cardinal George Olengeri of the Syro-Malabar Catholic Church based in India. The Syro-Malabar Church is one of the 23 autonomous Eastern Catholic Churches in full communion with Rome. Lately, there were disputes in this church regarding a new uniform liturgy leading to hunger strikes of priests. Pope Francis asked the faithful to seek unity and stop the dispute. Pope Francis met with his Council of Advisors, also known as the K9, for a two-day meeting in Rome. At the center of reflection, this meeting was the theme of women's role in the Church. The Pope's Council of Cardinals has been discussing the role of women in the Church since February 2022. Thank you for watching this week's Vaticano Updates. Andreas Tonhauser for EWTN Vaticano.
In a few moments, we'll be back with more on Vaticano. Advent has begun in the Vatican. It's a time for anticipating the birth of Jesus, drawing closer to His Word and the sacraments, and preparing our hearts to receive Him. In the first week of Advent, Pope Francis presented the Golden Rose, a symbol of the papal blessing, to the Salus Populi icon in the Basilica of St. Mary Major. This basilica is closely linked to the mystery of the Nativity. It contains preserved fragments of Jesus' crib and was designed to highlight the first Nativity scene in history, which it has been home to since 1288. Every year in preparation for Christmas, St. Peter's Square delights thousands of pilgrims from around the world with the traditional presentation of the Nativity scene and the lighting of the Christmas tree.
This year, we celebrate a dual anniversary tied to the figure of St. Francis of Assisi. It marks the 800th anniversary of the first depiction of the Nativity and the 800th anniversary of the approval by Pope Honorius III of the stamped rule of the Friars Minor. For this reason, a nativity scene from the areas where this tradition originated could not be missing.
In 1223, St. Francis of Assisi created the first depiction of the Nativity in Greccio, a small Italian village nestled among the rocks, giving life to the tradition. To honor this anniversary, a nativity scene that recalls the original one in Greccio is on display in St. Peter's Square. The structure of the nativity scene resembles the rock of the shrine of Greccio, while the water surrounding it references St. Francis's Canticle of the Sun. The octagonal base on which the scene rests commemorates the 800 years that have passed since the first nativity scene.
Il presepe è come un Vangelo vivente.
The nativity scene is like a living gospel, an instrument proclaiming the message of salvation as Pope Francis emphasized in the apostolic letter Admirabile Signum, which he dedicated to the meaning and merit of the nativity scene and symbolically signed in Greccio at the nativity shrine.
Proprio a Greccio nel santuario.
The scene features a fresco of the Greccio cave where a Franciscan friar celebrates Mass in the presence of the Madonna and St. Francis. St. Joseph, the ox, and the donkey are in adoration next to him. The tree that rises 25 meters high in St. Peter's Square comes from Piedmont, a region at the foot of the Italian Alps. This year, its decoration represents care for our common home in the spirit of Pope Francis's encyclical, Laudato Si. The governor of Piedmont explains the meaning behind the spruce.
Questo abete è incoronato di stelle alpine.
This spruce is crowned with alpine stars, which we managed to reproduce in the plain precisely because we want to defend nature. We want to defend the wonderful creation that we have a duty to protect every day. This spruce will illuminate the Christmas of the whole world in the square. That is the square where the heart of the whole world beats, the heart of brotherhood, peace, respect, solidarity, and for us, it is a source of pride and sharing.
Ma ancora di più è motivo di condivisione.
As is the Vatican's tradition, Prefect Archbishop Rino Fisichella, who heads the Dicastery for the New Evangelization, has set up the wonderful exhibition of the 100 Nativity Scenes to the left of the Basilica, where visitors can admire 122 Nativity Scenes from 22 countries around the world, for free, until January the 7th.
To the awardees then, and to all of you, the task and the wish that you may continue your service, continuing to fill the inspiration and support of the legacy of this great Pope, Benedict XVI.
With these words, Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolin opened the awards ceremony for this year's edition of the Ratzinger Prize, the first since Pope Benedict XVI's death last December. Father Federico Lombardi, president of the Ratzinger Foundation and former spokesman for Benedict XVI, recalled the importance of open reason.
Joseph Ratzinger never intended to build his own system of thought or establish his own school, but he taught us to seek and find the truth with the power of reason and the light of faith. Always keeping reason open in the dialogue between people, disciplines, and great religious traditions.
The Ratzinger Prize, the main initiative of the Joseph Ratzinger Benedict XVI Vatican Foundation, has, since 2011, been awarded to scholars who have distinguished themselves for their merits in publication and scholarly research. The winners of the 2023 edition were Spanish theologians and philosophers Blanco Sarto and Torralba Rosselló.
When a Pope, in a very delicate moment in which he was, decides to withdraw to pray, I think that is an example and an exemplification of how important prayer is in the Church. So he withdraws to pray to support the Pope, who comes later in this process of reform and purification of the Church, in which we are embarked at this moment. And I think that is a good example of what he said. Let's say, in theory or in his theology, no. the theology of holiness.
Speaking about Pope Benedict XVI's legacy, philosopher Francesc Torralba Rosselló told EWTN News his thoughts on the concept of love, one of the main themes of Benedict's pontificate and theological work.
Ratzinger defined Christianity as the religion of the words, but also the religion of agape, and therefore, both are key. We have to introduce rationality in our public life, because it is very marked by emotionalism, and sometimes by fanaticism and fundamentalism. But on the other hand, the world needs agape, and agape is donation. It is gratuitous love.
In the morning before the awards ceremony, recipients of the prize and members of the Ratzinger Foundation gathered in prayer in the Vatican grottos at the tombs of St. Peter and Benedict XVI. After Mass, Pope Francis received the participants privately. We'll be back after a short break with more on Vaticano. On the second to last day of the 40th anniversary celebrations of the Patrons of the Arts of the Vatican Museums, the international chapter members received a private audience with Pope Francis.
Your commitment is a concrete sign of your appreciation of the potential of the arts and their many forms to open minds and hearts to the beauty of God's creation and the richness and mystery of our human life and calling. Art, and religious art in particular, can convey a message of mercy, compassion, and encouragement. It has the power to foster a recognition of our common beauty, to build bridges between cultures and peoples. Dear friends, with these sentiments, I renew my appreciation for your support of the mission of the Vatican Museums, and I encourage you to persevere in your praiseworthy enterprise.
Each visit of a group of patrons of the arts in the Vatican Museum is special because it's a moment of sharing ideas, and to show them what their support produce in terms of maintenance, in terms of caring of our art parks.
As a sign of appreciation and hope for the future, the Vatican Museum's staff and restorers, together with the patrons, held a ribbon-cutting ceremony to celebrate the restored works of the Pious Christian Museum that a chapter sponsored. Every successful restoration is the result of a detailed process and dialogue between the patrons and the museum's curators.
The particular curators of a section within the museum provide a list of artifacts that they would like to see restored. Then that list goes on to be approved. Every year, this process results in what we call a wish book for patrons and anyone else who wants to participate in the patronage.
Another thing I hope, there are many, many chapters that are arriving with young generations and they trip to the Vatican.
We love to ask our kids. We have 9 grandchildren and 4 children, and they love being patrons themselves. You hear these little kids talking about, you know, now that they're 8 years old, they get to go to the Vatican Museum. That's pretty satisfying for us.
In young generation, you put seeds. You don't need that the seeds grows in a short term time, but they will grow.
On the last evening of their visit, the growing community gathered for a concert with the Sistine Chapel Choir. Guided by sacred music, the patrons found beauty, serenity, and grace in the experience.
Thank you. One of the places where I can contemplate God perhaps the most would be properly in the Sistine Chapel, because it's like a Bible in glorious technicolor.
I stand inside the Sistine Chapel and I am moved to tears, and it's a really wonderful emotion, but it's a real emotion.
The patrons of the Arts of the Vatican Museums have done an incredible job supporting the work of the Holy Father and the Vatican for the entire world. And from generation to generation, because of the work of the patrons, we know that the generations to come will be able to experience the art, the faith, the truth, the beauty of those talented artists who have received, as we believe truly, their gift from God.